It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. 9 to 11 to take your calls, your questions. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. And so much to talk about here this morning in a week where the market actually rose about a full percent, at least on the Dow Jones, about 0.8% on the S&P 500. We can actually give a value to one of Donald Trump's hyperbole-type words. What did he say this week? Phenomenal, I think that was the word, a phenomenal tax plan coming through. And that was really the catalyst. So if you look at the market this week, basically sideways flat for Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, and then boom, you get this Trump hyperbole on a really important topic, and that's tax reform, the prospect of lower taxes as he's meeting with airline executives. We've heard this talk of this before, but he said, listen, we've got something phenomenal coming down the pipe here in a couple of weeks. And it has to do with taxes, and the market really likes that. Remember, if you lower corporate tax rates, that means companies just plain keep more, like you and I do. If your tax rate goes from 30%, you make $100,000, you keep 70. Your tax rate goes to 20%, you keep 80. That's a big difference in your net income. And it's the same thing with corporations. If rates come down by 10 or 15 or 20%, depending on what gets pumped through, companies are just going to earn more. And if they earn more, their stock is more valuable, which means the aggregate market in general will be more valuable. Now, who's to say that it already hasn't priced some of this in? And that's probably the question mark. But as we get into the Trump administration and we're still waiting for things to actually happen, there will be these jumps and this EKG in the stock market, depending on what happens here and what it looks like the near future will hold. So that's what is the topic here. Really, for the rest of the year, we'll be talking about the tax impact for you, for companies on earnings and the economy, of course. So if you keep more, you spend more. Typically, if companies keep more, they invest more and their stocks are worth more. And that's what we'll be monitoring for so much of this year, because as an investor, this is the most important thing that's happened to the broader market in a very, very long time. So it's something we have to certainly keep tabs on. We'll talk about earnings here, but today's topics, we go back to, in the last few weeks, I've been trying to help you understand as investors, what do you do when interest rates start to go up? Because it really changes the dynamic. It changes the general climate, the weather pattern of the stock market. And that is something that we've seen happen as bonds have come down and down, or bond interest rates have come down for the better part of 30 years. It looks like this past summer, they basically started to bottom out and head higher. And in a stronger economy, and if Trump gets through several of the initiatives that he wants to see, like lower tax rates, which means better earnings, you're going to see this rise in interest rates. And it really, it affects us as income investors. So we want to prepare for that in a lot of different ways, because it's not just the impact on stocks or real estate or commodities. It goes back to, and we walked through last week called what we call BCRSP, which is bonds, closed-end funds, REITs, MLPs or income commodities, dividend-paying stocks, and preferred stocks. Those are the six main asset classes that pay out steady income. And we still need to do more discussion on those areas. But really, the two big components of BCRSP, my acronym of 2017, are dividend-paying stocks, and they play a huge role for you as an income investor, particularly in a rising rate environment. And then bonds. What do bonds do? Because that's the other main area. It's not the only area. That's the other primary area you get steady interest from. And as talk continues to accelerate about, hey, rates are going up, well, what does it mean for that big category we call bonds that we've relied on for years for steady interest, stability when the stock market goes down. How does that impact that such an important component of so many of our retirements? And that goes back to, so why do bonds still matter? Why does the bond market still matter as a, or what role does it still play for you when we go into an environment where interest rates are starting to go up? And remember, there's the seesaw effect. And this is, if you remember the relationship between bond prices and stock prices, they move interest rates. So the percentage of where interest rates are, call it the 10-year treasury, and bond prices, they move in a seesaw pattern. When interest rates go up, bond prices fall. And this reality has even conservative investors wondering what to do. Hey, what do we go? Where do we go here with bonds? So that is a topic that we're going to address right here on today's show. Why do bonds still matter? And why do they still make sense for investors despite the upward pressure on interest rates? We're also going to go back to a brand new rule of thumb that also ties back into this. We talked for years about own your age in bonds as a really easy guiding light for investors. Hey, I'm 70, I need 70% in bonds. I'm 50, I need 50% in bonds. That rule worked great in the environment that was the past 30 years. It's not going to be an operative word or rule of thumb over the next 10 or 20 years as rates go the other direction, as they head higher. So I want to really drum this into investors' heads that, hey, we're in a very different paradigm over the next couple decades, because one of the main thing areas we invest in is the winds are changing. So own your age in bonds. I'm replacing with a new rule of thumb, which I call the 15-50 stock rule, the 15/50 stock rule. A couple of weeks ago, as we talked through this, and I had a great call that led me to something I've been talking about, but I gave it a name, the 15-50 horizon rule, which was probably, I jumped the gun on naming the rule because it's about our horizon. It's about how much you want to have in stocks. It's just too hard to remember if you use the word horizon. So we changed this. Ryan and I talked about this for a long time. We said, you know what? It's better for people to remember, because these rules have to be really straightforward for them to start sticking. And the answer here is the 15-50 stock rule is what we came up with. And I'm gonna describe what that 15-50 stock rule really means, about what it means depending on your age, your allocation, how much you should have in the stock side of the equation, and which also determines what you have in the bond side or the safe side, cash side of the equation. So those are two really important. These are really important financial planning, investment planning topics that we're going to cover here today. The number in the studio, Ryan Neely standing by to take a call, patch it through. Maybe it's a call about an IRA or a 403B or a 457 plan, or you've got a pension, or you've got the TSP plan here in, if you're a government employee, or you're just in charge of new money for the family and you're trying to figure out the direction that you should be prudently going as now the trustee of something, of the family estate or new money, and you just want to get a second opinion or an objective opinion. Well, we love to do that here on Sunday mornings, and we take a lot of pride in that every week here on Money Matters from 9 a.m. to 11 to take your calls and give you what we really believe is the most objective third-party opinion that you can find anywhere. Better than your neighbor Ralph down the street, at least we hope. So the number here in the studio here on this Sunday morning, Money Matters, the number 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. Now, this all goes back to, and we'll go to calls here in just a little bit. This all goes back to, as we talk about tax rates coming down and interest rates coming up, we've got all these cross currents in the world, and they go back to earnings, of course. So we are about 70% through, which covers about 80% of the market cap of the S&P 500. We're about 70% of the way through hearing or getting earnings reports from the fourth quarter of last year. So remember, the beginning of this year, beginning of 2017, we hear about fourth quarter 2016, and we know that 67% of companies have done better than expected. So they've actually had better profits. Their bottom lines have been better than expected. And that's better than the long-term average of companies only beating about 64% of the time. So we're at 67. So we're doing a little bit better than we typically do. It looks as though we're getting about an 8.5% increase in earnings. So fourth quarter earnings growth in aggregate is looking to shape up as about an 8.5% increase over this time last year, which is a major move. We have had flat earnings all the way since 2014. So the half of 14 was flat, 15 was flat, 16 is flat, and then boom. Finally, this fourth quarter of 16, things are actually starting to look good again. And an 8 to 9% rise is a very big deal. That's where we're headed here, and that's part of the reason you saw the stock market tick up at the end of last year. If you go and look at if you take all the estimates from all the really overpaid or high-paid analysts on Wall Street, you see that earnings growth for 2017 is looking to be about 11%, which is a very big deal. So flat earnings, now we're looking for about a full 11%, which is a... And again, depending on what research outfit you look to, you'll see anywhere from 4% is at our estimates to 11%. So the big wild card between those two numbers, again, goes back to corporate tax reform. It can be that big of a deal. It can mean the difference between, hey, we grew 4% or we grew 11%. How much companies keep. So we've got we will be very tuned in to the happenings and when, as far as this conversation, when does corporate tax reform really happen and what will it do for earnings? Because it has a very big impact on the stock market itself. Again, the number here in the studio, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Today, talking about why bonds still matter and the 1550 stock rule. Straight ahead on Money Matters, right here, News 95.5, AM 750, WSB.
Moss.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. We're talking today about why bonds still matter. A new stock rule of thumb, the 1550 stock rule. We'll get to that here in the show. Let's go to the phones here. Again, the number here in the studio for your questions. We're happy to do it. It's a fun part about Money Matters. 404-872-0750. Dennis joins us from Braselton. Dennis, what's up? Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I'm trying to figure out exactly what investment I should do over the next 10 to 15 years because I'm 55 and I plan on working as long as I can. And I have a 401k right now with my company, and then I'll have additional income coming up as I increase my wages. So I'll be able to make more contributions.
Are you doing the max yet? So do you know, so at 50, your 401k maximum actually lifted. Are you aware of that? How much are you putting in the 401k right now?
No, the question was. I wasn't sure what it is now.
So when you were under 50, it's 18,000. So if you look at when you hit 50 though, or when you get to age 50, they call it a catch up, but really it just means you can do an extra $6,000. So you can do $24,000 a year.
Right.
Which is a giant number for most people, right?
Right.
So you can, and again, there's no percentage limit. We still remember the days where there used to be a maximum percentage. Today, it's a dollar limit. So you could make 24 grand and save the full 24 if you really wanted to. So the question I have is for you, let's say you do that 24 grand. Is there additional money you want to save after that even?
Well, yes, because I'll have no children to pay for college. So that was a big deal.
I know. And, it's a giant deal. It's rare that you could ever retire. And I wrote about a little bit of this in the book, Retire Sooner Than You Think. It's rare that you can get into retirement until the kids are paid for. So in your case here, what I would do, and if you're not, and again, you're not self-employed, correct?
No.
So you don't have the opportunity to do a SEP IRA, an SEP, SEP IRA, which would allow you to save up to $53,000. or over 50 grand you could potentially do.
Wow.
So your best bet is to do your 24. That's your starting point. And then just every dollar you have after that, it just goes into an after-tax brokerage account. So you buy low-cost ETFs with very low taxation, and you could save an unlimited amount there. Now, you don't get a tax deduction for that, but at least you're continuing to put money towards retirement now that the kids are off the payroll. You are listening to Money Matters. Here, I'm your host, Wes Moss, right here on News 95.5 AM 750 WSB.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss, certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Ha ha ha. Yes. Good morning. I was looking for the weather is what I was doing. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. 30% chance of light showers today. High of 71, low of 41. Monday, mostly sunny. High of 61, low of 36. I don't know what you call that on the Mellish meter. You know, there was a Mellish meter this week that I got a text for because I love Kirk Mellish's text alerts for Mellish meter. Ben, do you remember what we were on Thursday on the Mellish? I've got Ben, one of my sons, here, and every morning we play Mellish Meter Predict in the morning, and I read the weather, and then we predict what we already know to have been the text from the Mellish Meter to see if you get it. And Kirk is tough to get on his pattern because now what I'm learning, it's more about the sun, because we had a day where it was only 61 degrees, and it was a 10 on his Mellish Meter, which I thought it would need to be warmer than that. Anyway, fun game to play. It's a great family game. Good-hearted fun. Anyway, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. Today, we're talking about why do they still matter? Hey, rates are going up. Do I still need to own these things? Are they still really that safe? What do they give me as far as interest? Well, that's the answer. Yes, they still pay interest, and that's part of the equation and why we will still own them. And of course, your calls and questions, which is always the fun part of Money Matters. The number in the studio, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We're going to start with, and we're going to get to these calls. I know we have lots of folks on hold. We're going to start with Jim, who joins us in Lilburn. Jim, good morning. Welcome to the show. What's going on, man?
Well, I am 60 years old and plan on retiring in 2 to 4 years. My wife and I both will receive a pension. And I'll need about 2% of my assets until I start taking Social Security. I have read that the average market crash recovers in, you know, a little more than 3 years. So I'm thinking it might be a good idea to keep 3 to 5 years of assets in safe investments and let the rest be in stocks, more risky investments. For that safe investment part, would you keep it in bonds and cash, and what kind of bonds would you recommend?
So if we're talking about bonds today, and let me just make sure I'm understanding the rest of the equation for you. You have a pension, a monthly pension amount that, and then plus Social Security, I suspect, Jim, and that makes it
receiving later, yeah.
Okay, so at some point you'll get Social, and then between those two, you only really have to take 2% of your overall nest egg every year in order to make up the spending need.
Correct.
So you can look at this a couple different ways. So for most retirees, if it's going to be that low, then meaning that low of a withdrawal need or withdrawal rate per year, if it's 1 or 2 or even 2.5%, that's such a low, you're running the RPMs at such a low rate that even if you go through these big swings, and let's say you've got a diversified portfolio that's half in the stock market, half in the bond market, to some extent, the really safe side of your investments is already serving that purpose of your conservative money. So that you don't necessarily need another bucket that says, hey, I'm just going to leave this in cash or bonds. Especially if your withdrawal rate's only 2.5% or 2%. Because in the world we live in today, I would say a conservative income portfolio still has a yield cash flow of over 3. So that, and remember why that's important, as an income investor, imagine you have $500,000 or $1 million or $2 million, the amount doesn't matter because the percentage is the same. if you're generating, let's do $1 million example, and you have a portfolio it has a full yield of 3%, which again is not that big of a stretch in the world we live in. Again, dividend paying stocks are paying 3%, even low interest rates today, bonds are paying 3.5%, depending on the kind of bond. You're generating that $30,000 a year. You need less than that, Jim. So you could technically just always take that income only and not worry about the principal fluctuation, even when we go through one of those recessions you're talking about, recession slash market correction slash bear market that you say takes 3 to 4 or 5 years to recuperate from, which is about right. So I'm telling you that you don't necessarily even need to do that separate amount of money in cash because your withdrawal rate is so low. You're never having to dip into the principal anyway. You're just taking income, cash flow only. Now, so that's part A to your, that's answer A to your question. Answer B would be, okay, to make play that even more conservatively, which I like this too, you're saying, hey, do I keep 3 years worth of just plain cash or really short-term bonds? And if you do that, and I think that might be maybe a little overkill, but again, if it helps you sleep well at night, then that's fine too. And you can afford it. You're not taking too much away from the nest egg to do this, Jim. Then you're going to want to keep it in. Yeah, short-term bonds are fine. So there are a lot of different short-term bond ETFs. You can do it. You can look at something like Vanguard BSV as an ETF. It's really short-term bonds, 1 to 3 year, high-quality government and corporate bonds. CSJ is another ETF those are high-quality corporate bonds. Again, the furthest out maturity is like something like 3 years. So they're really short-term bonds there. Vanguard has several other versions of short-term bond ETFs as well. So you can look at it that way and use cash, and even money markets are starting to perk up a little bit. Even the Schwab money market, I've seen some of the money market availability, and this is for higher dollar amounts, is getting into the 0.5% to the 1% range these days. So just make sure that cash, and maybe you call it 1 to 2 years worth of spending money, is sitting in something that at least you're getting a 1% yield on. And as long as you're doing it that way and you have cash and short-term bonds, then you should be fine. The other thing to do is look at individual bonds, Jim, where you can ladder out bonds over a 5-year period and know exactly what you're getting. Now, your yield there might only be 1 to 2%, but you could have a short-term bond ladder or short to intermediate term bond ladder and know exactly what you're going to get every single year and not really. And at that point, there's very little worry about fluctuation. So to play this really conservatively is the way you're talking about this, and I think it's great. Otherwise, because your withdrawal rate, Jim, is so low and you're only taking 2% anyway, you're not going to have to dip into the principal when the market is down or when we go through a correction. And that in itself is ideally what income investing is really all about. 404-872-0750. We're going to go to Seth, who joins us from Decula. Seth, good morning. Welcome to the show. What's going on? How can I help?
Hey, Wes. Thanks for taking my call. I know that Washington has been trying to give incentives to companies that have, in some cases, billions of dollars overseas to bring it home to repatriate the money. My question really is, I guess, a couple of them. One is, why, I know why a company would do that, but why wouldn't they do that? And if they chose to do that, what might happen to the company, or in the case of what I'm thinking about, the company's stock, if they chose to repatriate that money, would it affect it, go up, or would they choose maybe to keep it overseas because they don't know what will happen in the future, you know, politically speaking?
Seth,
what do you think about that?
Yeah, this is a big number we're talking about, and it's an important topic and an important question this year, Seth. In addition to tax reform, one of the pieces of tax reform could be, hey, we're going to let you bring back all this overseas cash. And the number's really gotten to like something like $2.5 trillion today. Remember, the whole U.S. stock market is about 17, 18 trillion, right?
Right.
In the economy, I mean, you're talking about 15-20% of the world that we live in is parked overseas. So if you bring it back, I mean, it's a big deal, right? Remember this though. Remember that those companies, they have already earned that money. I think that's an important thought right out of the gate, is that just because they bring it back and then they pay U.S. taxes on it, and let's say we have this repatriation special holiday where they only have to pay 5% or 10% or 15%, whatever the number is, remember, they still have already earned that money. So it's not like we're going to get another trillion in new earnings. So that's an important distinction right out of the gate. But remember what they're doing. So Microsoft has close to 100 billion. GE is 90 some billion or 98 billion. Apple, Pfizer, IBM, these are the companies that have $80 to $100 billion or more than that, just sitting overseas. But if you remember, Microsoft just bought LinkedIn a couple of months ago. Remember that? They actually issue debt in order to do that. So why does a company issue debt when they've already got the cash? Well, the answer is if they're paying 1 or 1.5% on their bonds, and these are companies with great credit like Microsoft, why would you bring back all this cash and pay 35% on it in order to pay for a company when you could issue bonds at 1 or 2%, right? And that's right. The kind of thing that we would see if we get a tax holiday. It's like, okay, and that's what we'd want to see, or we'd want to have that, you hear this term dry powder, to do something with. Like Microsoft, instead of issuing debt to buy LinkedIn, they bring the money back and they make an acquisition. So think about companies bringing back this net. So it's $2.5 trillion gross. Let's say it nets over $2 trillion. And let's say they bring half of it back. You've got $1 trillion for them to use to boost their earnings. And that's the part that could really help the stock market here. So remember when this happened in the past. So when this happened in the past, about 90% of it went back to shareholders in a couple different ways. Number one, companies increased dividends. So that's a big deal. That's literally money coming back overseas or from overseas. And then companies turning right around and giving it back to you, the people. I'm using a Trump quote, giving it back to you, the people, in dividends, which is direct money in your pocket. Now, not all of it's going to happen that way. The other part that is also considered shareholder value is that they're going to buy back more stock. So if companies bring this money back and they buy their own stock, then that's another way for them to boost their earnings. Remember, we talked about these corporate tax cuts. If you get tax cuts down to 15 or 20%, that in itself boosts overall earnings anywhere from 7 to 13%. So these are all the numbers. So we don't know exactly what's going to happen. And I believe if I go back to the last time this happened, about 35% of money that came back overseas and into the United States went into buying back company stock. So these are real numbers. And whether that boosts earnings by 3, 4%, those are real numbers, Seth.
Boy, that would be incredible, wouldn't it?
Well, it's a very big deal. But remember, the market is already kind of discounting. The market's already saying, hey, we think we might get some tax reform. And if we do, we know that's going to be worth a full 7, 8, 9% up to 13. So remember, some of this, Seth, is kind of baked in. So we've also got to look on the other end here, is that if none of it goes through, let's say Trump gets no corporate tax reform, he doesn't get a tax holiday, then the market actually is going to look at that and say, wait a minute, we thought we were going to get an extra 10, now we're not. So just keep an eye on this and remember that Washington, there's no guarantee of anything happening. You and I both know that it's really about the details of these broad plans. Do they really get implemented or not? But I think you have an important question here, which is, yeah, where does the money go? And there's a lot of benefit to shareholders in a lot of different ways if it actually happens. Some of that, yes, is already getting priced into the market. You're listening to Money Matters. I'm your host. You can find, we've written about all sorts of articles that we're talking about today or questions on wesmoss.com under the Money tab, WESMOSS.com under the Money tab. There's a contact button. Those emails, if you want to email me, they come straight to me and the Money Matters team as well. Stay tuned. More Money Matters right here, News 95.5, AM 750, straight ahead. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here, WSB. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning. As we go back to the phones here, and my heart beats so Brad joins us from Woodstock. Brad, good morning. Welcome to the show. What's going on? How can I help?
Hey, Wes. Appreciate you taking my phone call. We're looking for a little bit of guidance on some cash that we have on hand outside of our portfolio. We have about $25,000 IRAs, about $70,000 in our 401k. And about $38,000 in cash.
Got it. So it's a pretty big chunk. So if I'm doing the math there, it's almost 35% of the total. Okay.
Right. Right. Out of the at about the 140, I think it's, you know, out of 140 is 37,000 in cash.
Got it.
That's just sitting there.
So, okay, so I would say this. What I typically say is that 10% is usually a good number, but that's for more retirement. If you're getting closer to retirement, you okay. already have kind of the need for an emergency fund kind of goes away as you already have assets to start generating income. And that's going to be your new paycheck, which you can't get fired from that, right? When right. you're younger and you've got a job, you're having this cash flow, this cash or emergency money if you have a big gap in employment and earnings. So the number on a percentage basis when you're younger certainly is higher. How old are you guys?
29.
Oh, yeah. So you guys are super young. And that emergency number, I wouldn't look at it. I'd look at it less as a percentage of overall and more as just a some sort of round number that equates to a 6-month gap. Now, depending on who you hear from and depending on the economy, after we went through the recession, people said you need a year, you need 2 years in cash in case you lose your job. Back right. when times were good, people said, hey, 3 to 6 months. I think it's probably closer to the 6-month number. And you okay. know, you also know better than anybody how stable your field is and how quickly you could get reemployed if something happened. So you've got right. to just make that calculation in your head and say, hey, I think if something happened, we'd get a job pretty quickly versus, okay. hey, it might take me a year. So in your case, that 35 grand and 30 to 40 grand in cash is an appropriate number, even though it's pretty high on a percentage level, I'd still keep it around that same number. The number in the studio, we've got more calls coming up at the 10 o'clock hour, 404-872-0750. We're going to get to why bonds still matter, even in a rising rate environment. Right here on Money Matters, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB.